Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the Kevin Herr Clam Bake, a.k.a. the Steve Jones Show. We have found in our Q ratings that when we include your name, unbelievable what it means.
I didn't realize name recognition was that good for me.
All I said was it's incredible what it means.
Oh, I misunderstood.
I didn't really say what it meant.
It's very true. You did not specifically say what it meant. Very true.
So Rosemary Woods was in charge of the clock last night. She had the 18-minute gap in the tape, and last night the 18-second gap on the clock. That's unbelievable.
I'm just glad it had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. That would have really been bad.
Yeah, but you know what's bad? Is your coaching staff didn't even notice.
Yeah, that's also true. I mean, you'd think with all those headsets around, somebody would have said something.
I mean, the NFL does not have a head coach and nine assistants like college. They got assistants to assistants. You're telling me nobody looked at the clock and said, well, that was a touchback and they just ran 18 seconds off?
I know high school games where that happens and everybody notices. Here's an NFL game and no one noticed, including the announcers.
It wasn't even as if the clock was a factor. Oh, wait, it was.
The thing that confused me is the time. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a situation where a ball was put in as a touchback and the clock ran. I mean, I could understand if it was along the sideline and, you know, the official said he was out of bounds and then you didn't stop the clock because you didn't see the official signal or whatever. I guess, right. And I think everybody's looking at the clock at that point because of the time constraints, but no one thought to look at the clock after a touchback because I don't think anybody even thought it was ever going to happen. Nobody fathomed that being a possibility.
Well, the Steelers last night won a game where they were clearly outplayed.
Yes.
Which is fine. But that's fine. That's a good thing.
And I completely disagree with the last call, even though it was successful.
What would you have done?
Listen, I do not believe.
America waits.
I do not believe in a short yardage situation of any kind that there is any reason to go into a shotgun / pistol formation. Why give up an extra 4 yards when you don't have to? Don't understand that.
Well, they won.
What's the thought process there? Is it, well, we're going to give him more time for the blocks to open up in front of him and make a decision? That's the only logical reason that you could come up with to go into a pistol or shotgun. I did not like the call. I was very happy it happened the way it did. And look at how close it was for not happening.
I thought it was a wildcat, wasn't it?
It was. It was a wildcat, yeah. But you're still in a pistol or shotgun style formation. And you're still you're still getting the ball 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Whereas if you're running a dive play or a handoff, you're getting the ball a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage. Like I said, the only argument you can make is, well, this gives a chance for the holes to open up and then the running back to make a decision. And one thing that Le'Veon Bell was doing very well last night was making decisions on when to make a cut and when to run the hole that was called and when to run the hole that was there. I will give him that.
And you have correctly called the Ben Roethlisberger situation. He's going to play Sunday.
I just did not expect him to be out the maximum amount of time.
Well,
I just don't.
You're right.
Now, whether he's effective or not, that's a whole different story. But I don't think there's a Steeler fan right now that is saying, "Oh, it's too early. Don't bring him back." No. Todd Haley does not know how to call an offense when Michael Vick is in there and Ben Roethlisberger is not.
Well, okay. Let's be fair to Todd Haley here for a second. Okay. Of which you are virtually incapable of.
I try to be, but it's really, he makes it difficult. Every time I start to like the guy, something happens.
This is his system, and it works well with Roethlisberger.
Absolutely right.
My thought is, it probably works very well with Gradkowski as well. Michael Vick was brought into this, into the what, fourth week of training camp?
Yeah. He has had very little to no time to get used to everything before he's been thrown into the fire.
And conversely, Todd Haley's had very little to time to get used to what Michael Vick does.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. But the way he calls the offense, he's calling it for Gradkowski or Roethlisberger. Vick does not have the experience in this offense to make the choices that you need him to make the calls and the audibles at the line of scrimmage that these other guys have the experience to do. So try and do something in his strength set. Don't try and run the same offense over and over again.
But wait a minute, okay? This is where you're wrong.
Okay, right?
You're wrong, and you have 10 other guys. Right? You're now, in order to run some things that are to Michael Vick's strengths, you have to block it in a different way.
Yeah.
A different blocking pattern that when he does certain things. So suddenly, after teaching everybody this is how we block this for a period of time, these are the routes that we run over a period of time, it's up to Michael Vick to fit into what the Steelers do. Because guess what? 10 other guys are already doing something else.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. No. It's just...
You may want to add a wrinkle here and there, but there is nothing in this offense that was built around the skill set of Michael Vick, because there was nobody in the second week of August that looked at each other and said, you know, I think Michael Vick's a part of the team. No, he really is.
Well, how much different is the offense just from one receiver standpoint? I mean, you could tell last night, Darius Haywood Bay was the target for Vic every time, not Brown.
Here's the fraud stat of the day. Okay.
No. I'm not talking about the stat.
Thing is gone.
Nope. Okay, I'm not even referring to the stat. I'm just saying you have to admit it was an obvious difference when the go-to guy was Darius Haywood Bay instead. I mean, there was a time in the second half where I didn't even know with if any other receiver is on the field. But Le'Veon Bell played outstanding.
Why is that? Why would he target Darius Haywood Bay?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm sure there's something I'm not seeing, so tell me.
Because they're both on the scout team together. That's the guy he knows.
Okay. All right. I hadn't thought about that. That's a very good point. I mean, you could tell there was a comfort zone with him that he didn't have with anybody else, including Heath Miller.
They're both in the scout team together. That's why.
Did Miller catch a pass last night? I know Spaeth caught one.
Don't know. Don't really keep track of stats in the game.
I'm just glad that Bell is back, he's running the football, and he's not driving around with anything in a Ziploc bag in his pocket. Very happy about
that. That's just cold. Just cold.
Very happy about that.
Like, look, you get Roethlisberger back next week. Your guy Brown gets to go back to his fraud five-catch-a-game stat record.
I don't care his stat. I just want him to catch touchdowns. Get six. I don't care what that five-catch-a-game stat is. Pointless stat, I agree.
You will get Martavis Bryant back. Heath Miller will be more in the mix. Miller's just, you can't appreciate Heath Miller as a pro football player. You can't appreciate anybody as a pro football player. Throws his body in there, gives himself up to make plays for all the other guys. He's just really good. Really, really good. But, yeah, you'll see that with backup quarterbacks. Why will backup quarterbacks go, I can't understand why they're going to XXXX, because that's the scout team guy.
You know what, and it's funny. You didn't even hear anybody say that last night on the broadcast, and I would have figured if anybody on the broadcast would have said that, Chucky would have said something about it.
You're just calling plays. I don't think anybody really thinks about it.
Well, no, because even at one point they said that, they haven't really gone to Antonio Brown much in the second half.
Well, but I mean, that's the reason why. They're both on the scout team together, so that's the guy Vic in a short period of time knows. I mean, simple as that.
No, that's a very good call. I didn't really think about that, but that's a great call.
Well, I finally got one. Took me 4 years. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand. Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. All right. So, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to jump in. Love to hear from you. Coming up on the show, you're going to like Friday's show. You're going to like Thursday's show, too, as a matter of fact. Thursday, the high school football announcers are on Joe Susan tomorrow on Bucknell playing at Army. Said Joe will be on with us tomorrow at 3:35. Thursday, our high school football previews. Friday, Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, and Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football.
Paul Keels on Friday's show.
Yes, he is.
I'm a big fan. I am not an Ohio State fan, but I enjoy listening to him.
Yes, he and Jim Lachey do a great job. They are great people to be around. Skip Mossick, by the way, runs that show. They're just really, really good people.
He does basketball, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes, he does. Yes. Yes. So,
did you hear the lineup for the possible coaching jobs at USC? Well, not the possible coaching job, but the possible interviews.
No,
Chip Kelly was on the short list.
Oh yeah, no, you can expect that at every college job. Chip Kelly will be on the short list for every college job. He'll be on the short list at Maryland. He'll be on the short list at South Carolina. He'll be on the short list at USC.
Well, a loss on Monday.
For everybody.
A loss on Monday night may make him want to visit that short list.
Well, I'm he's going to be on the short list for anybody, especially at the college level, because he had great success at the college level. This part so far with the Eagles has sort of worked out. I mean, the first year they made the playoffs, they won 10 games. They won 10 last year, but they missed the playoffs. And this year's been a little bit of a struggle so far through five. But if they end up beating the Giants on Monday night, they're back in tie for first place. It just depends on where he feels challenged in all this. I mean, the Eagles aren't going to dump him, despite what you think.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just saying fans may want him to go out to visit SC.
No, but no offense, that's irrelevant.
No, I realize that.
That's irrelevant if they wanted to go out, if fans wanted to go out and visit. Guess what? The Eagles have a waiting list on tickets. Right? So it's not as if he said, yeah, the fans will want you to go. He thinks that they're going, I don't care. Why should he care? If you got problems selling tickets, then it does become an issue. The Eagles are sold out. So while their fans may be loud, they may be vocal beyond words, they may be unhappy and so forth, right? Guess what? The only way that you can make your point with anybody these days, right, is in the wallet. So you can whine, moan, gripe, complain, get upset, and guess what? If you keep buying those tickets, the Eagles will look at you and say, hey, look, we think this is the right way to go. There's no need for us to panic because guess what? You're still buying your tickets, right? You can get upset all you want. The stadium is sold out, and you think you've got the right guy? There is no pressure on you to fire him at all. None. Right? What pressure do you have from your fan base if the games are sold out? I don't see any pressure if the games aren't sold out. Games are sold out. You're like, okay. The fans are mad. Well, the fans keep showing up. I think we're going in the right direction.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're going to be starting up here pretty soon with a couple of other segments, such as this date in sports history and our, what we're going to call the sports bozo of the day. And like, for example, if we were doing it today, we'd have two incredible nominees. The clock operator in San Diego and Major League Baseball. They're not going to talk to Chase Utley until next week.
Even I think that's wrong.
Larry Boa thinks it was just fine. This is why you. Sorry, Larry. Yeah, you want to be a manager of a baseball team? Okay, shut it down and just go interview for the jobs. All right.
He was at Darren Dalton's foundation. Here's what he said. He was at his the Darren Dalton Foundation golf tournament in Plymouth Meeting, and he said, "When you call it a dirty slide, that means you're trying to hurt somebody. I don't think he tried to hurt somebody. You got a tying run at third. It's a magnitude of the game. If the situations were reversed and the Met guy did that to the Dodger guy, he'd be getting an award before the game tonight. If you know Utley, he's not a dirty player. He plays hard." Bo also said that Tejada put himself in harm's way. The shortstop was turned around and in the midst of spinning while trying to turn the double play. He said that's not a double play ball. Once you turn your back on the runner, you need to get you and you get out of the way.
Well, Larry, good luck getting interviews. I'd scratch you off my list right away.
Yeah, that's not going to help his cause, I have to admit. But at least it's a shortstop saying it's the shortstop's fault.
Yeah, and look, it's not as if Utley himself as the second baseman hasn't been in that spot. Chase Utley's been in that spot his entire career. But it is a dirty play because it's not a normal slide. I mean, Chase Utley ended up with his head past the bag. All right, let's use some common sense here, Larry. You were a limited offensive player yourself during the course of your career. I got that. But that was a dirty play. Yeah, pure and simple. Now, let me put it this way. Do I think Chase Utley did this with an intent to injure? No. Okay. But did he slide in there in such a way where there is no way where there is a hard play trying to get into second base? He's not trying to get to second base. That isn't intent at all. You stick that left hand out at home plate because you're trying to avoid the tag. What are you avoiding when you do that at second base? Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
How are you doing today?
Well, I don't know how baseball and the Dodgers are they're shagging the shell. Just take the suspension, move on.
You know what? The odd thing about this suspension deal is that Major League Baseball offered to knock it down to one game.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers said no.
That's what I'm saying. It's like shagging the shell. And I'm a Dodger fan.
Was it the Dodgers or was it Utley's man? Utley's agent.
I think it was Utley's agent, to be honest.
Yeah, it could be Utley's agent. Okay, you're right. Take it. You're not going to be in the lineup tonight anyway.
Yeah, that would have been. I think that's a smart thing to do.
He didn't put you in the other game. He's not putting you in tonight. So that'd have been your two games, and you'd have been out. So if by chance the Dodgers would have won and get to the next series, you'd be eligible to play.
Look, they handed it to you. Look, yeah. We'll kick it down to one game. And his agent says, we're going to fight this. Fight what? Just stay out and come back for game four.
Maybe he was figuring on the fact that Major League Baseball would never get around to doing the hearing or hearing the appeal. I mean, why does this take until Monday? You said this yesterday. They're in New York. It's not that hard to drive a few blocks.
I mean, I didn't realize Roger Goodell changed sports. What's going on here?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, like the old saying goes, yeah, Torrey was a Yankee manager, but he's also a Dodger manager before the current manager.
Joe Torrey, I give Joe Torrey credit. He came out and gave him a two-game suspension.
Yeah.
I mean, he did do that. So this wasn't as if Joe Torrey sat there and and mulled it over. He came out and said, no, we're going to suspend it for two games. Then Utley appealed. All right. Okay, so let me understand the dynamics here as somebody who's been to Manhattan many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball offices are at 350 Park Avenue. The Dodgers are staying at the Hyatt on 42nd Street. And the game's in Queens. I think they can do this.
Well, you can do it with a computer. You don't even have to pick up a phone anymore.
I mean, you could just drive to the hotel and say, look, what do you got?
Yeah. Well, that's it. You can do it with a phone, a computer.
Come on.
Yeah, the agent told him not to take it. And all they're doing is just kicking the can down the highway.
Personally, it may become irrelevant anyway. So
but you said about was it to touch the base? Nobody in that whole thing touched the base.
Right. Nobody even came close. That's what I mean. That's why. I mean, Larry Bowe, old school baseball. Hey, Tony Watson threw at Jake Arrieta last week. Really? Really? In a playoff game.
Yeah.
Do you honestly believe that Jake Arrieta deliberately hit two of your players in a playoff game?
That would give him a chance for you to score more runs on him. That's stupidity.
Exactly. In a playoff game, you're doing everything you can to prevent base runners because you are one base runner away from starting down the road to disaster. And by the way, example A is on the mound tonight, Clayton Kershaw. So many playoff games, he has been brilliant and looked like the Clayton Kershaw of May, June, July, August, September. And then all of a sudden, boom, a bad inning that, by the way, starts with a base runner.
Yeah, and you know what the inning it starts with?
Seventh.
Number seven, yeah. And I was telling my brother, Ron, I says, they're giving this guy $215 million for the 10 years or whatever that thing, you know, that big gaudy contract
yes.
that he signed.
Yeah, you got $30 million this year.
I said, but I'll tell you right up front, he's worth every penny except for when he gets to the postseason. Then he unravels.
Well, part of this though, Dave, I want to be fair in my commentary about him because, yeah, the ERA is bloated. Yes, he has not won big games, so that's been established. But also part of it too is that the Dodger bullpen is so weak that if you're Don Mattingly, do you feel like you can take him out?
He goes out of his way not to take him out.
And there's a reason for it, because that's his best option.
But I'm just saying, he sends, you know, his pitching coach in there every
Rick
other
Honeycutt.
Inning or something. Yeah,
yep.
And when it gets to that one where he gave up, you know, the bases loaded and stuff, well, now you got to go hook him. Well, let the runs just keep on rotating.
Well, I mean, that's a tough call for a manager, Dave, because when your bullpen, which is probably the weakest part of your baseball team, the temptation is, I want to ride my guy for a couple more batters here with the hope that he's still my guy out there.
Yeah.
And that's a hard choice to make because I think the bullpen boxes you in sometimes.
Well, yeah, when they used to have an outstanding bullpen years ago.
Yeah,
but then, you know, over the years, it's more night now starting pitcher.
Right. For example, if Clayton Kershaw is pitching for the Pirates and he gets into trouble in the seventh inning of a game, they would take him out because the Pirate bullpen has been, for the most part, exemplary.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, there's a big difference. Dave, got to run. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. 800-795-9565. I just want to be fair. We know what his ERA is. We know what his record is. So that's on the table. But I think part of it, too, is that Dodger managers, because of the mediocrity of the bullpen, are so boxed in, they're looking out saying, what's my best option here? Well, my best option is to stick with him.
By the way, Steve, just for the record, from Citi Field to the home offices of Major League Baseball, as of right now, it is a 26-minute trip on basically the LIE. If they were in Los Angeles, it would be a 44-hour, 26-minute trip. So it's a little bit closer by a few hours where they're at right now if they want to hold the meeting.
It's just, I find it bizarre. I find it bizarre. Who's running this show? Bring him in. Talk to him. Hey, first of all, don't let the, you know, I realize the agents are there to protect their client, this and so forth, but guess what? Okay, you're only the agent. We run the show. Okay? You better, you know, be prepared as quickly as possible because we're having the hearing. Just like when, what's his name? Scott Boras gets involved with Matt Harvey. I'm the Mets. I'm looking at him going, look, you're out of this. Go away. Don't tell us how many innings we can pitch him. What do you think? We're sitting here saying, you know what? I think it'd be great if we drove him into the ground. I think I gotta be careful about, you know, how many innings have been. What about him pitching in postseason? Excuse me. Right? How about if we make that decision?
what Major League Baseball team sits back going, yeah, we're not really worried about it. We're just going to pitch him. We're not worried about whether he gets hurt or not and whether our investment's worth anything.
Yeah, look at the Washington Nationals. I mean, he did that with Steven Strasburg.
Exactly.
I did that with Strasburg, and I still to this day don't agree with what they did from the outside looking in. I mean, they have more information to work with than I do, but I didn't see until you produce some x-rays that show me he was starting to fray at 162 innings. I didn't get that at all. And the same thing with this. You know, you're coming off Tommy John surgery, for goodness sakes. Most pitchers are actually stronger after it. Okay, we will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand. Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Howie Kendrick has been the Dodgers' second baseman for most of the summer anyway. Like, they sat there and they offered to knock it down from two games to one game. For goodness sakes, just take it. They handed it to you in a silver platter. And then, you know, and then as for Larry Boa, long career, good bench coach, manager. Some people are better at being a bench coach.
He's emotional, though. You never have to question how he feels because he'll show you.
Oh, look, I appreciate his fire and I appreciate his intensity. But this old school baseball stuff, no. Hey, let's be honest here. We are so locked in right now in every sport on concussions. Locked in. It is the lawsuit of all lawsuits that every professional sport fears, especially football. They fear it. You now even have concussion protocols in Major League Baseball. That's why Josh Donaldson, they took him out the other day. He wasn't quite right. They took him out. All right? So they do that. So concussions. But you've had Jordy Mercer, Jung Ho Gung, and now Tejada all hurt at second base, right?
Because that's just good hard baseball.
Well, that's not good hard baseball, okay? Hey, there is no attempt, right? When you stick your hand out at home plate, what are you trying to do?
Trying to reach the base because you're trying to slide away from the tag.
Right, you're trying to get around the tag and slide in. When you reach out your left hand at second base, what are you trying to do?
On a force play, I'm not so sure what it is.
Yeah, you're not trying to do anything except knock the living daylights out of the other guy. Right?
But that's good hard baseball.
Oh, Larry, no, it's not good hard baseball when you've got guys breaking limbs. All right? Hey, you know, don't tell me it's the shortstop's fault. That's a kid out there who's trying to make a play in a playoff game, all right? And, you know, I understand that you know the fundamentals of playing shortstop better than I ever will because you played it. But I've also watched enough baseball to know that common sense tells me that's a kid with his back to the play. He doesn't see this guy barreling down on me. In fact, I don't think Tejada made the throw, did he?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to look at the replay.
I don't think he made the throw. You know, there's just, but there's a certain line. Chase Utley is not a dirty player. He is not. Right? Did he? Was it his intent to injure Tejada? No. But did he cross the line as to how he did it? Yes. And I think that's about as fair an evaluation as you're going to get.
He did not make the throw. The ball never left his hand.
Right. I didn't think he made the throw.
No. No, the ball never left his hand.
So what's Larry Bowie yakking about?
Larry was saying something about when you make the play at second, don't turn your back on the runner. And I'm not quite sure exactly what he meant there, because if you watch, Tejada's back is only toward the runner when he's making the play, not afterwards. So I'm not quite sure.
He's got to catch the ball, for goodness sakes. How's he supposed to catch the ball?
Well,
how are you supposed to catch it?
It all goes back to what I said yesterday.
Well, you got eyes in the back of your head. You know what? I'll watch Utley and catch the ball. Okay, I got it, Larry. Okay, scratch him off the managerial list. He's gone.
I go back to what I said yesterday. I agree with you. It was definitely a takeout slide. There was no question about it. It was an absolutely positive late slide. I don't want to use the word dirty, because I don't think it was a dirty play. Because a dirty play to me shows intent to do harm. And I don't think that was the case. But I do think that Major League Baseball needs to start doing something about this, because instead of a takeout slide now, where you're sliding into the base and maybe, you know, outstretching an arm or something to make the shortstop or the second baseman have to move, it's now becoming more of a contact thing. And that's not the intent of what it was supposed to be. So Major League Baseball needs to do something about it. And I think it has to start with the umpires first, calling it on the field, and then start finding things that are happening afterwards.
Well, if they're not going to call it, I'll fine it.
Well, you know how I feel about a fine after the fact. I just don't understand why the umpire's watching this and it's not interference at that point. That's what's beyond me. If he was sliding anywhere with his feet toward the bag.
But you got to remember, it's a playoff game and they're trying not to determine. You know what I mean?
I suppose you're right there, but I don't know. Again, you have a rule in the rule book. If you're going to make a judgment call, make the judgment call. To me, and watching it at full speed or slow motion, it was really a no-brainer to me that it should have been interference, because he was not. And I think it should be interference every time. I see 100 of these plays all year long that are like that, where they're not sliding at the bag.
Well, if you're going to sit there and put specific protections in for catchers on blocking the plate because of the Buster Posey play, you've had three guys this year. Mercer was out 6 weeks to 2 months. Gung won't be back till next year. Tejada won't be back till next year. All right? This is what you want. This is what you want. And please don't hand me that mumbo jumbo that makes me so sick of, this is part of the baseball code. Part of what baseball code? Here's one for you. If I strike you out, I've made my point.